This is CliffCentral.com.
Right, so this week on the Gilmore TV Vibe here on Cliff Central, I get to sit down with two young leaders from Zimbabwe who are running for councillor and member of parliament on the 30th of July, come the 2018 elections in Zimbabwe. So you know, the term young people are leaders of today does not really apply in Zimbabwe. Or maybe does it apply? I have no idea. I'll get to hear more from these two young people, and they'll tell me more on if young people are leaders of today or they're leaders of tomorrow. So please stay tuned on the Gilmore TV Vibe here on Cliff Central. Every Friday at 1 p.m., we are live on www.cliffcentral.com. Don't you go anywhere. Joining me on the show this week is Nkululeko Nkala, who's running for Member of Parliament for Phumula in Bulawayo, and also Natasha Karimakwenda, who's running for Councillor for Ward 5 in Bulawayo. They will share more on their visions and why they thought this is the right time for them to get into power and also represent so many people that have their voices are voiceless. So stay tuned, you do not want to miss this conversation. All right, so welcome, Ngu and Natasha. So I need to say your full name. So this gentleman is called Nkululeko Nkala. I know you can't see him, but you'll hear his voice very soon. He's very much involved in the creative space, and I have known him in the creative space. And you have decided to go into politics.
Yes, sir.
Why the move from the creative space to politics?
So the biggest problem is we always assume that we are not involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So when the price of bread goes up, that's politics already. Mm-hmm. We're all involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was a matter of saying, you know what, it's high time I get into the game fully,
yeah,
and be the change that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like you say, that most cases, people say we're the leaders of tomorrow, but we are the leaders of today.
Of today, yeah.
So it's high time we start doing things to say, you know what, this is about us.
But is it like in Zimbabwe, are we actually leaders of today? Because when you look at our current structure in Zimbabwe, most of our leaders are like way above 40s, 50s, and you have someone who calls themselves a youth and they are 65 years of age. Are we actually leaders of today, or that's just a myth?
Well, growing up, because of maybe the way that we attained our independence, it was always, there was always the thought that, you see, you have to have gone to war,
mm-hmm,
to be in politics.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a big shift.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Nelson Chamisa, he's leading the MDC now, and he's only 40.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, I think there is a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's high time that people actually stand up and say, you know what, the only way we can grow is if we have young people in leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way we can influence things,
mm-hmm,
at both council and MP level.
You are running for MP.
Yes, sir.
And then Natasha Karimakwenda.
Karimakwenda.
Natasha Karimakwenda.
Exactly.
You are running for councillor for Ward 5.
Exactly.
So which what consists of Ward 5?
Okay, so it starts off at suburbs.
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be shy, you should speak louder, you know?
Okay. I'm not shy. I'm composed.
Okay.
Okay, so it begins in suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
There's Pomona, Bradfield, Hillside, Hillcrest, Leona, Green Hill, Morningside, and then last but definitely not least, Four Winds.
That's a lot of places.
Yes.
And you're going to be councillor for that. Let's say after the 31st, right? Is it the 30th?
30th.
30th. You will be. You might be possibly the councillor for that.
Exactly.
That's a huge task.
It is.
But you're also from the creative space.
Yes, I am.
So why the shift? Because he said why he's moving. And then why did you decide to move from the creative space to going into that?
Okay, so in as much as I'm a creative,
mm-hmm,
I also like to champion development,
mm-hmm,
especially looking at women issues.
Mm-hmm.
So in as much as there's this great call for women empowerment and the quota system and PR,
mm-hmm,
in parliament, you've never actually advocated for that in council.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that gap still existing within council. So even if you have these proactive women empowerment incentives in parliament,
mm-hmm,
the people who actually put it down on the ground are the councillors at the end of the day. And if you have all these men sitting in council, how will they understand that women actually need it going to the left?
Mm.
In fact, they might turn things to the right.
Would you agree with that, Uncle?
And also maybe to add on to what she just said, I actually appreciate that we have a creative running for council. She's not the only one. There's a few other guys that are running for the same post. You look at arts, for instance. Maybe we should speak to the arts because we are creatives, right? It's hard sometimes to even get a venue to do an event. Our council doesn't really support arts. But you go to other countries, they understand the value of the arts. So maybe the only way that we can change the things is from within. So if people like Natasha make it to council, then we know for a fact that when one day I go there looking for a venue to try and develop Pumula in terms of the arts, maybe I'll get an ear that will support.
But in Zimbabwe, I'll come back to the arts and the sports. There's a current rise of independent candidates. Do you feel that the existing parties are not, you don't subscribe to what they are all about, which is why possibly you decided to go independent?
The party mentality, to be honest, has really let Zimbabwe down. One party has been in power for the past 38 years.
You can say ZANU-PF.
Another has been in power for the past 15 years. They've been in existence for 8 years. They've been in power for the past 15 years. What have they done? Nothing. I'll give you an example that, for instance, Bulawayo is being run by MDC. They've actually brought the town, the city down. The most that they've done is to make sure that they award themselves with land to do things. And you look at rates. For instance, when our parents bought their houses, things were affordable. Right now, the cheapest rent will be 4,500. But with the level of unemployment and everything, how are they helping us? You look at how they look at the arts and sports. They just look at it as entertainment. But it's work for life in a lot of
ways. Someone is getting paid for that.
I give people the example that Ronaldo is getting paid 72,000 pounds a day.
Wow.
Kama Biliad, just here in South Africa, is a Zimbabwean boy. He's getting paid 550,000 rands to play for Kaizer Chiefs. But imagine if we deliberately invested in sports. Then there's no way we can fail to get 3-4 guys from the city here that will get such big bucks. And in turn, they will come and invest in our local sport. But because our councils are run in a way that is party first, then people later. Things never work out. So that's the reason for being independent for me, to say, you know what, I want to be accessible to everyone, including those party supporters. Because the only time that these parties come back is when they are campaigning, to tell people this is what you are doing and this is what you.
But that's like a typical thing though in Zimbabwe, that people only get to go to the people when they want something, but all these years you'll be quiet.
That's the thing, it's because we are voting for a party and not the person. Really has to be about the person, not the party. Because there was a time, I can tell you, that there was a saying that was going around that as long as it's not ZANU-PF, it's fine. That's the wrong mentality altogether.
People just want to change.
But at the time, it made sense because people were distracted. People were saying, you know what, nothing is happening. But now we need to be politically mature enough to say, this I do not want.
All right.
I think that person will take me from point A to point R. Just leave the point B, it's too close. Point A to point R, then we'll be fine.
Is it the same for you?
It is, but there's more to my story personally.
Okay.
So, as you may know, I'm a young woman. And for...
I mean, of course we can say that. You never know nowadays, right?
I'm a youth and I'm female. And the space for people like ourselves is very, very small for us to actually stand up and advocate and say something. And talk for people like ourselves is very, very difficult. Like, for instance, if I want to start a business as a young woman, if I go to the Ministry of Youth, they'll send you to the Ministry of Women. You go to the Ministry of Women, they send you back to the Ministry of Youth. And that's a very big problem. So us as young women have nowhere to go. I decided, why don't I just stand up? Even if there's some sort of discrimination against me, I'm going to stand up and say, even if this discrimination actually happens, I'm going to bulldoze through this discrimination. So that at the end of the day, tomorrow, when other young women want to take up the same space that I'm taking up, mm-hmm. it's not such a challenge at the end of the day. I think with, you know, war credentials and everything like what Ngo was saying, it's very difficult for people like myself to get into this space. So what I want to do is I want to champion safe spaces for young women like myself.
But then when we look, you touched on parties, and so when you look at independent candidates, what's the structure like? Because, you know, with a party, there's structures, there's the chairman, there's a secretary, there's this, there's that. What's the structure for you like?
For me as an independent, like I said, the whole drive is to say I'm accessible to everyone.
Okay, so anyone is free to come to you without going through channels?
Without going through all those channels. So if you look at the past scenarios, you find a guy, say, from ZANU-PF, if he wins a seat, the first people that he's serving are ZANU-PF people.
Mm-hmm.
When resources come through, who does he give? ZANU-PF people.
Mm.
And, but at the end of the day, we are all people in one constituency, irregardless of political belief.
Mm.
So independence should have an upper hand, but we do not have the culture of independence yet.
Yeah, no,
the
it's
hope
not there.
Now
not there.
Is that this election may turn it around, because like you said, that there's actually a lot of independence
yes,
this time around.
Yes.
So in a way, I think the constituents as well should start to accept that, you know what, I should follow that person because they've got a vision.
Mm-hmm,
it should not be about, I want change, the populist idea of right now, the most popular is MDC Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chinese are maybe making waves, but it doesn't mean that the person at my constituents
on ground is also making noise.
Is also doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these guys even miss the debates that we're doing right now
because
they are scared that they do not have anything to say to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once I was telling people in one of the meetings that I wish that our constituency this time around is really selfish.
Mm.
Selfish in that you can vote for whoever you want up there, but at constituency level, if you want to know, let's choose someone that will take us to the next level. It may not be me, but it better be someone that will take us to the next level, not just someone that will come and give you a t-shirt and mini belt. So our
and talk to bad because
learn,
you don't bad surely.
Yeah, our people should learn for once to say, thank you for the fish.
Mm.
It's just a one day thing. I actually want a hook and
so
well,
I can fish
so that
myself.
I can fish myself and feed myself, not that to be dependent.
Exactly, yeah. which is why maybe you guys are called independent candidates, because you're trying to create that independency. You want to say something?
I also wanted to say that when it comes to development, development can never be based on one person or one organization, because once that organization is gone, or it fails, or that individual fails, then that's the end of development. And that's the problem with political parties. They keep coming back to us and saying, we are bringing development to you, but development works in a way that everyone has a piece within the development, within the community.
Ownership also.
So another problem that exists within political parties is that you'll have someone running for MP in Pumula, but you find out he stays in Lobengula. So this person doesn't understand the disgruntlements that actually exist within Pumula. So because the party gives him a nice seat to sit on, and these people are just going to vote for him. Like, for instance, like currently, the MPs that are there in MPC, most of these people actually don't stay in the constituencies that they actually represent.
So, but then how then do you represent a place that you don't exist in? How does that work?
At MP level, to be honest, they can get away with it.
Okay.
Because an MP's role is legislative and representative.
Yes, yes.
So it pretty much means they are away most of the time to work on the laws and all that. But maybe to strengthen her point.
Strengthen.
Yeah, agree with you. To maybe agree with her. You find that most of these guys, for instance, the Alliance right now, it was more like a thank you, we'll just second you to that constituency. It's not about the person really. For instance, in Pumula, the person that is for the Alliance is a PDP person, a party that is almost non-existent. But because they sat down and said you are an Alliance, They then choose that they will put sorrows and whosoever and blah blah blah. But are we then building Phumula in that way? Because at the end of the day, I would rather, if they said we had primary elections and then this person won because they're in touch with people, but not to be given a ticket to say, you know what, for being loyal to the alliance, go and represent.
Right,
at the end of the day, that's how we get chaffed to leaders. So we need people like she's saying that are seen on the ground, because the very people right now that are sending the young youth and all that to go out and come in for the night, never even send most of our constituents.
Wow.
So we need people that can actually go there and know the problems, like she's saying. That, you know, that person that is selling vegetables over there has got this problem.
And they've been there for 10 years.
How are we going to solve it?
So do you feel you guys have the advantage of existing in these places, and also possibly because you work in the creative space, so people know of you? Do you feel like that's an added advantage?
I think what's an added advantage is that we actually come from these places. We actually talk to these people.
And people know of you.
And people know of us. So I think that's the first advantage. So when there's a pothole in the middle of the road, my car is also getting problems, and everybody's car. So I understand that if I fix this problem, I'm not just fixing it for myself. I'm fixing it for the community as well. So it's a plus for everybody at the end of the day. But the reason why we don't have development is because these people don't face the same pothole that I'm facing. If garbage is not picked up in my area, the stench that is now left there, the person who is representing me now doesn't smell it. I do. My children do. It's a health hazard for my family.
Then that's like you then act towards it because you...
Exactly.
You can see the frustration and you're part of that.
Exactly.
Okay, okay.
So I am there to fix the problem wholeheartedly, and not because people are bothering me now.
But it affects you too.
But it also affects me as well. It affects my health. It affects the things that are valuable to me at the end of the day. And it affects the money in my pocket as well.
So maybe also to add on to that, the whole independent...
Before I go for a break.
Yes, the whole independent thing.
Yeah.
To be honest, the moment I declare that I'm independent, it means I've put my constituency at heart. I am investing personal resources to say I want to do this campaign. I want to take it to the next level. So you look at political parties. They already have money, but they never channel that money to the communities. Come election time, they are buying brand new cars. All of that. Brand new cars.
But then where?
What have you done for your community?
Nothing.
They are showing off with their cars. But not even one of them has ever gone back to the community and said, community, I was offered a car. I know we do not have an ambulance at our local clinic. I am donating my car. No one has ever done that. They actually change cars every 5 years as an incentive from their parties to say, here's a car. Go and campaign. Next moment, there will be 20, 30 youth inside those cars celebrating, yay! Because they've just been given a t-shirt and maybe $10. And after the election, you never see those guys.
They
come back is when they want to be elected again into office. But you then look at things like, for instance, unemployment. What have these guys been doing over the 5 years? That unemployment is actually skyrocketed. Instead of saying they've been sitting in parliament and coming up with laws that will actually make the unemployment gap smaller. So, but at the end of the day, it's the people that we vote in. So the problem in most cases is not even with the politicians themselves. It's us.
Yeah,
we should not second them to go and represent us if they do not have the quality or the passion.
Still chilling with Nkululeko Nkala and Natasha Kari Makwenda. You see, I got that.
Yeah, you did.
I got that. You were talking about how we need to do things, how these politicians come in and they don't do things for us. I don't know about your guys' policies. As you get in, what policies do you have? Why should people actually go and say, I'm going to vote for Natasha? What is it that you have in store for the people? Because people might not know. They know maybe the policies of ZANU-PF, of MDC, of the other many parties, saying that we have 23 candidates standing in for presidents. But then they might not know what you have in store for them. What do you have?
Okay, so in my case, I want to look at it twofold.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the plan that I would like to see for my city as a whole. Because sitting in chamber council means I also look at other parts of the city as well. And then there's also for my own residential ward.
Mm-hmm.
So for the city at large, as a creative, I do want to create those spaces, because the thing is, Bulawayo's economy largely is based on what we have in store, what is our identity and what's our identity based on.
Mm-hmm.
And because Bulawayo is so creative in nature, like, this is a dancing city. People love to dance, people like to have fun. And the thing is,
this is a dancing city.
This is a dancing city.
Not that you can dance, maybe you can, but we never know, counselor.
Right. Well, that's how you find out. But the honest truth is, if you go anywhere in Bulawayo, there is someone who's playing music and someone is having fun. And based on that identity, why can't we sell this to the world? And these are the spaces we need to be opening up. We all talked about how we can't get a venue, but people live and breathe on, you know, their artistic nature. And this is what I would want to bring out of Bulawayo. Things like a festival. Why does Bulawayo not have a festival? I'm so beguiled, because we have so many people who are writing.
We do have a festival. We do have festivals. We do have the Intwasa Arts Festival. We do have the Ibumba Festival. We have a jazz, Bulawayo Jazz Festival coming in. We do have a few festivals, but maybe what I would say is maybe a booming festival.
Okay.
Or maybe we should say a festival supported by the city.
Exactly.
Okay, okay.
The same way that Durban will support their own thing and have that pride to say, this is a Durban festival.
Exactly.
The same way that I've benefited from the twinning arrangement between Bulawayo and Aberdeen.
Yes.
But it was years back. So we went to Aberdeen. You should see how people are so proud of that festival to say, you know what, this is our festival as Aberdeen. We like that.
Exactly. And so maybe what I'm talking about. Okay. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Something that actually brings the people together and say, because we are people of Bulawayo and we are proud of who we are, this is celebrating us. I believe that sort of identity is what's going to bring in the tourists to say, wow, these are actually beautiful people at the end of the day. They are economies that are based on the arts.
Yeah, they are.
Africa has got a very large, you know, artist-based economy.
So why can't we adopt from them?
That's what I'm trying to bring out for the city, mainly. I mean, there are other things, you know, opening up the farms that have been run down, like Chabalala Farm, that had timber that actually put into the economy of the city. Very fine, we can deal with those things. We have places like Nast and Bulawayo Poly that have the right sort of personnel to deal with that. But the thing is, if we're really going to succeed as a city, we need to understand our identity and how we can sell our identity. So that's one of the things that I want to do. The second thing I want to implement, right, is because I also love to dive into ideas and to express myself also in technological ways, right? I want to put up hubs within Watt 5, right? So as you may know, Watt 5 stretches a really long way. Like, for instance, Four Winds is very far away from town, and if you have students who can't go to town and they have to work at home, if they don't have the right resources, then they can't work properly.
But is this not like all across Zimbabwe? I think we have that problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this is also what I want to do.
For your work.
Exactly. Because I'm in connections with the Tech Village as well. So I want to adapt that type of model within the ward as well.
Okay.
So those are the two main things. Apart from fixing roads,
that's a national crisis,
exactly.
The roads.
So the thing is, we need leaders currently that are not just going to keep Bulawayo. We need people who are going to make Bulawayo grow. Make Bulawayo progress. So I want to hit hard on the ideas that are going to make Bulawayo a center, an economic center, an art center, an education center, and not just to keep ourselves. We need to develop. Time is up.
That's good, that's good. Nko, do you feel like our current leaders in Bulawayo, in Zimbabwe, are in denial that Bulawayo is a young city at heart? Because she talks about how when you go anywhere, there's music, people want dancing, people want to have fun. So do you feel like the people that are currently in power in these different wards and communities, they are in denial that we're young at heart?
I think the biggest problem is our type of leadership, the kind of people that we have put in the council. You say something like, why are we not taking the South African template when it comes to things like entertainment? We should.
Yeah.
But because the people in council actually look at art as just entertainment, they will say it's a waste of time.
But maybe what has built the city? You're talking of the Albert Nyasi, the Sandandebeles, Iyas, Insingizi, all those people.
Across Zimbabwe, we are called the cultural hub of Zimbabwe.
So why are we not supporting that culture?
At the end of the day, we the Bulawayo people are not even embracing that. We are only looking at it as entertainment, like I've just said. But you look at Hollywood. Look at even South Africa, how much they are contributing to the GDP. It's actually a lot.
It is.
But here, the politician will come and say, I want you to come and perform for exposure. The very one guy that I want to put to go and speak for me thinks to perform
for exposure.
So the next time government has got a state function, what do they give me? Exposure and transport and food.
Meaning they don't even consider you as anything in their policies and in their...
You're nothing. You look at all their manifestos. None of them really speak to development of sport and art. They do touch on it. They do touch on it, but not in the same way that they are talking about opening the industry. But to be honest, that industry ship has sailed.
It's gone.
Pretty much, maybe half the spaces are taken up by churches. But we are still saying industry. But if you look at it this way, give us a warehouse.
Yes.
And say make studios. Then we'll make films. Then
we'll make
films
music
we'll
too.
Go to the
exactly.
You look at maybe say, right now in South Africa, there's going to be Beyonce, the Jay-Z,
the Global Citizen Festival.
Yep. Why don't we have things like that? Because the very people that sit in those meetings and all that have gone to sit down and to say that, you know what, we need censorship board, we need immigration, we need national council, we need this and that.
They'll make your life hell.
These people.
They'll make your life hell.
National Arts Council is actually supposed to be looking at it in a way that, you know what, most of the things, when it comes to venues, when it comes to funding, they're in the forefront. But I can tell you right now, call National Arts Council, say you want to collaborate with an international artist. National Arts Council will charge you, the local artist. But it's
to make it impossible for you to work.
Make it impossible. And at the end of the day, sorry to say, because maybe National Arts Council will hear this, National Arts Council do not have a clue what they're doing.
They actually need to
strip that DNA that they have, get another one, and then we can.
They just need to get everyone out of space.
It's so wrong. You know, you ask yourself, fresh ground will be banned. Obviously, the moment you ban them for exercising their freedom, you're basically telling all the other artists from the rest of the world, don't go to Zimbabwe.
And everyone won't come
but
to Zimbabwe.
We need that. You see, the moment Beyonce goes to South Africa, she tweets, I'm in South Africa, what a lovely country.
Tourism.
Millions of people from that side are coming back to South Africa. And she says it's a lovely country. But we have laws that are not friendly to things like tourism. So because arts is one of the things that is actually linked to every other
That's
country.
What I was going to talk about.
Every
other
is finance, foreign affairs, and all that. But you see, we've got embassies in Harare, all of them land, which is one thing that we also need to work on. Devolution of power. We need to decentralize all those things. You look at
embassies. Dude, you're so deep today.
Why are they not talking to those embassies to say, everywhere there is a festival, everywhere, like she was saying about festivals. There is a festival in every country, a big festival. Why don't we have a national dance team? Why are we not taking turns to say, this province is going to Italy, this province is going to Spain? That way we're selling our culture. That way, that GDP that we're talking about is going to work. Look at tourism. They don't even know that domestic tourism is huge. But you go to Vic Falls, they'll charge you $7. You're in local. $7 to see your falls. It's your falls.
It's ours. It's not David Livingstone.
Imagine if it was just $2 or $3.
A lot of people would go.
A lot of people would go.
And
there.
That's more
that's
money.
A lot of more money. For internationals, it's $30. Imagine if you deliver it, say, it's $10. How many more people would actually spend more days there? So instead of pushing volumes, we're all about, let's charge people try to bring stuff from our borders, they'll charge you, I mean, the neck.
Yes,
try
you can't even bring
stuff. Machine.
Yeah.
Something that can actually help the whole community. Mm. They want to have a monopoly over that and charge you an arm and a leg when you go for dialysis. $200 per session.
So they that you are mentioning, this is the current government that you are not really advocating for because you are an independent, obviously. So I'm a creative. You are going to get into power. Possibly just soon after the 30th, they're going to be in power. What other change would you bring for me as a creative that I should be excited about? Because you mentioned about the arts contributing a lot, and the arts also attracting other different sectors like the tourism, the other places. Why should I get excited for you?
Well, the thing is, as a Ward 5 councillor, I can talk for Ward 5, right? So in other words, I can't make decisions for other people, but within my own ward, I would want to open up more centres where people can actually perform in front of these people. The thing is, in Ward 5, there are people who want to consume this art that we have, right? But because people are so, let's go to the city centre, let's go to the city centre, these people won't come to the city centre. They want to stay in their houses or just go next door. I remember going to one house in the suburbs, and there were a lot of people that were there, and they were consuming this Indian art that they like to see. But then there's also this art that Ngu is talking about that they need to also see and also to embrace. So that they can also tweet and say, look at this art, and they take pictures, and then they show the world. So we need to also open up places within our own wards to say we also have this talent that exists within our city. Let's also embrace it, because if we are also going to get these tourists to come in, we need to have our own confidence. We need to buy our own art, because the moment we don't buy our own art, people are not going to carve their art and make it better. So we need that confidence first within our city, and then we can take our own pictures, make our own art look so amazing, make it better, so that we get the tourists to be confident in our own confidence.
Maybe to add on to that, I'm passionate.
He's always adding on to you.
I'm really passionate about Bulawayo. I'm passionate about my city. She mentioned something about spaces. Do you know that almost every location here in Bulawayo has got a youth center at home? We grew up in a youth center setup. That's how we got into art. But back then we had leadership that actually understood.
Acknowledged.
I'm not really saying we miss the time when the white man was ruling us, but the white man actually had a social plan. They actually knew that, you know what, for social you need a bar, you need a youth center, you need a hall. So every other weekend we would go there to watch films, and all that has died. Right now you try to book a hall, they will tell you you need to pay this much, but they know that our art industry has gone down. But if they deliberately invest in it and say, you see, for the next 5 years the walls are actually free, or at a very minimal fee for administrative costs. At a very minimal fee. You try to put our last city hall right now, the least you are going to pay is 1,500. Because they're saying you're an artist, you're professional, they call it professional rates. But how are we then cultivating into our arts industry? How is the arts industry going to grow if the very city where we are trading in is not appreciating that we are a business, or that we need to be
a business? They only say it's a business when it's benefiting them.
Yes.
Like now you're saying you're a professional, you need to pay 1.5. But all the same, you don't look at us as business people. You want us to perform for free at your functions. You want us to provide the service for free because you do not have a budget. So already the budget was not put in to support the creative space.
Because you look at the city's budget, it gets to millions and millions, but there is nothing towards the arts. So if we are really serious, that's why we need creatives like Natasha to get into that council and be able to sit down and explain to them that, guys, this talent can take us everywhere. You see, when I went to Europe, it was with a group called Mdumoisizwe. They sing a cappella music, like Lady Smith, like Mambazo, like Lego Force. People loved our music. When I moved to CIA, we were doing a production called Tata, it means tech. Trust me, it was just traditional dances. But we were filling up venues because people that said consume art.
But they consume art
because it's a culture.
That,
you know what, we go out, we go and watch movies. Well, movies right now, to be honest, we are trying. But we still need to go back to that point where something is happening in Luveve, something is happening in Ward 5. Ward 5 youth know that we can go to that place and be able to consume art. They know that our city is supporting our art in this way. We should be able to say this is a studio that is actually built by the city council. But they're not. Do you know there's actually a powerful studio by the post office?
Oh, there is?
A powerful studio that is lying idle.
No one is using it.
Yeah.
So then how do you attain those spaces? Because the other time on the show, we spoke to the mayor of Ulaya, Martin Moyo, and then he closely touched on how, they're all available for young people to go to the Ulaya City Council and get these things. But to be honest with you, I could get that interview because I forced myself. I sat down in that office until they allowed me to see him for an hour and hours and hours. But a normal young person doesn't have that time.
Yeah.
Like an average young person doesn't have that time. They don't even know where to go to. So what was he saying now when he says that these things are available for the people?
But availability doesn't mean I can actually use the services. Because like what Go was saying, like they charge hefty fees. Like to get a beat is like $20. To, you know, get a producer, it's another charge. So they'll give you all these charges for all these services to get into the studio.
But then what about the city? Because there's spaces that the city has that young people could use. How available are those? They say yes, they're available. Yes, you can easily access them. But is that even a reality?
They are available, but like she's saying, it's for a fee.
Okay.
You go to City Hall, they will not give you that space, even if it's for a rehearsal, even if it's for the weather calls. The most they can do for you is to say you will pay half. But that's half of $2,000. Where do I get $1,000?
Where do I get it if you are not supportive of the industry that I'm operating in?
And there's no employment in the city as well.
Yeah. Because you look at it, you see most of what is happening in our city. You know that was planned at 1980. You look at the master plan for 1981, that's when you see that Pumula South was already there. The new plan of West was already on that master plan. But now we are pretending that is something new. So we do not have people with that vision to say, you know what, let's build the city further. The only theatre that we have is a 320 seater, which was built then when Bulawayo had 40,000 population.
Yeah.
Now we are like 700,000. We still have just the one theatre, the very one. So how are they then empowering us? Because those guys have put a 1990 list on that theatre. What about us? What about us? We need to be given land. You write a proposal to them and say we need land to do a theatre. Trust me. The answer will be a definite no. They will go and say, give someone else Ascot. You know, Ascot is, it can be a venue.
Yes.
But they will share it amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And then we are meant to sit back and say, yes, you're doing the right thing. We'll fold you back. I am seriously encouraging people in Zimbabwe for once to go and be selfish.
Yeah.
Say, what are you doing for us? Let's vote for this.
So we need to question people that want to get into power. Like how I'm trying to question you now, and you're trying to be clever with that.
We're not just clever, we have a vision.
You have a vision for that. So we're going to talk more about your vision soon after this. So if you want to get a hold of Nkululeko Nkala, you can find him on Twitter at Nkululeko, which is Nkuenkala.
Well,
right? I got it. And then for Natasha, it's at NLN. Kariamakwenda. You need to spell it out for people. Because if you just say Kariamakwenda, they'll be like,
I know. I've had that problem all my life.
All your life. And also just, you can live stream the station on www.cliffcentral.com and let us know what you think about this conversation we're having here, because Zimbabwe is going to be voting on the 30th of July. So it's 30th, not the 31st. 30th of July. And we'd like to see who we're going to put in power to represent us, and also who has the best interest of the people of Zimbabwe. So we're still here, and I think this is the last 5 minutes, if not 6 minutes, of the show. Because we were complaining like 45 minutes is a lot. But it's actually not a lot, especially when you're talking about things that you're passionate about, your vision. So why now? Why did you decide to do this now, Natasha?
It's a different Zimbabwe right now.
Is this a different Zimbabwe, actually?
Let me tell you something, right?
Okay.
Back in 2013 and 2018, there was no active online participation of people saying there's this problem that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's an accident that has happened. Mm-hmm. Currently, if anything happens on the ground that mm-hmm. is unjust and unfair, anybody can tweet about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the political game already has changed because of social media. And it's not just Twitter and Facebook, it's WhatsApp. And once something gets on WhatsApp, literally the whole country has access to what's happening on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So in as much as people want to play their tricks that they've been playing in the last elections, this election, the ball game has definitely changed.
But do you feel people are going to, sorry to catch you, do you feel people are actually going to take off their fights off Twitter and actually go into the, and vote, like go to these polling centers? Do you feel people are actually going to do that?
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
Do you feel like, because at the moment there's a lot of social media
activity
going on, but do you feel the people on social media, all these people that are voicing out, will actually remove their complaints off social media and go into a polling station to vote for the person that they want?
I think so.
You feel that's going to happen?
I feel that's going to happen. I think if you're looking at things like the Arab Spring, you feel, you can see that political discourse has been has happened on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So without Twitter and without Facebook, the Arab Spring wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
With the situation in Syria, people wouldn't be engaged in that sort of situation to support or to disagree with the whole situation if it wasn't for social media. Mm-hmm. So with social media, if you look at the likes of Fadzai Mahere, I mean, if it wasn't for social media, people wouldn't know the work that she's doing on the ground currently.
Mm-hmm.
And even for people like myself, I need social media to get people to know me better.
I found out that in school you were contesting for MP on social media, so I guess it's working.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure about people then going. I think the work should be done on the ground.
Okay.
Because the social media is a whole world altogether.
Mm.
So someone in the UK will tweet, someone in whatever, which is most of the people there that are not even registered to vote will talk about
we'll
it.
Talk about
we'll
it.
Talk about it. So the, most of the work should be done on the ground. But maybe to respond to your question, you say why now?
Mm.
For me, it hasn't really been about now. I actually wanted to run in 2018.
Okay.
But I had to look for advice and I was told no, not now.
Mm.
The landscape is not ready. You also need to mature doing and all that. But this time around, for me, it's probably the frustrations of the arts.
Mm.
Because the arts on its own is a constituency.
Mm-hmm.
We are a constituency that has been ignored for a long time.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, you know what? The only way we will change this is if we are inside.
Yes.
So my best bet is that, you know what, irregardless of what people say, trust me, there are a lot of people that say don't do it.
Mm.
Irregardless of that, I will have to spend my money, hard-earned money from the arts, and you know that it's not easy to make money.
It's not easy to make money.
I will have to spend that money. I told myself it's for a worthy cause.
Mm.
If tomorrow 5 people hear your what's it called?
It's a Gilmore T vibe on Clear Central.
If 5 people hear about it,
yes.
Or maybe 5 other politicians hear
yes.
about it, they will speak for the arts one day.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be me in there. But right now I can tell you for the fact, people know that I'm saying, you know what, the moment I get there, we need to speak for the funding of the arts.
Mm.
We need to speak for the funding of sport, because I know the value of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someone else will listen.
Yes.
But it will even be one better if I actually make it.
And then you are in there.
Then you know that it's easy to talk to people and they will know that this is what we want as young people.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we can have our own Hollywood here in Bulawayo or in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
But it takes someone with that vision
to be in power,
which I have. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it really has to go down to people standing up for what they believe in.
Mm.
I like that there's a lot of young people that are getting in there. Some of them coming with their intellectual side, some of them with their passion side.
Mm.
We need all sides.
Mm.
Someone was actually saying that, but you don't have a degree or a master's or a doctorate. And I was saying, you know what? That's where you miss the plot.
I have a life experience.
Sometimes life experience will take you there.
Especially in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
In Zimbabwe, you literally do not need a degree. Well, it's important that you get educated.
Yeah.
Like you... Miss Natasha.
But you see,
but
Gilmore, There's also a problem that our education system has taught us to be employees.
Yes.
We
yes.
need to be employees.
And to be dependent also. That's what it has taught us. We're very dependent. Yeah. We always need to go back to the book. Why can't we write our own books? Why can't we tell our own stories? Why can't we have our own narratives?
Exactly.
Right? I'm preaching today.
Yes,
you guys are also preaching. Mm-hmm. Natasha, after the 30th, let's say you get into power, what's the first thing that you're going to implement actually?
Walkabouts. I want to meet the residents in groups. So I want to group all the suburbs within my ward and have like actual meetings to understand how are we actually going to implement the things that they want implemented. So for instance, in Pomona, they've been crying for parks for their children to go to after school. So now it's me saying, you said you want the parks within your suburb. How do you want it? Where do you want these parks to be? And what sort of security measures are you happy with? Do you want fences? Do you want a guard? How are we going to finance it? Is it going to be money making? Is it going to be non-profit? How are we going to do it? So that's the very first thing I'm going to do. And then also setting up of residence association. But the way I would want to do it is again to, because the ward is very big, to set it up with the different suburbs, because each suburb wants its own thing. So when we have to make a collective decision, we just get a few representatives to come together and then make a decision as a ward and work in that way. So that's the very, very first thing.
Nice, but you know, Zimbabwe has a lot of corruption, and then many people want to get into power because they want money. Of course, you mentioned a lot about the arts, but is money not also one of the motives why you want to get into power?
Money will come to the arts if we are in there.
Are you trying to be diplomatic and clever about the response?
The biggest problem with most of those guys that we are talking about right now are people that have been hungry for power. That is why MTC is split like 10 times. Because everyone wants to be in power. The moment they differ in whatever they are talking about, someone goes to form MTCY, MTCZ, and all that. But the reason for being independent, obviously you know that the moment I invest, it means it's from the bottom of my heart. Otherwise, I'll have to wait and go and join a party where all the campaign material will have to be donated. I am forking it out for my own pocket.
Or unless you have a blessing, I was also helping you give you some money.
And no, I'll be very broke after this thing is done, trust me.
Okay.
Yeah. In my case, I want everybody to get money. So when I'm eating, I want to make sure who is eating. I want to make sure you are.
Isn't that not a humble way of just saying, no, vote for me and I'll make this happen? And when you're actually in that position as human beings, you tend to be selfish.
No, every time, if you ask Zim debate circles right now, every time I've been in a leadership position, I have delivered on my promises.
Okay.
Now I just want to grow bigger. I did it at NAST, I did it for Zim debate. Now I want to do it for my city. I want to do it for Wat 5.
Nice.
I am someone who is very concerned about the people. Not saying that I want to go in there and come out, you know, a raggedy and all that. But I want all of us to benefit at the end of the day.
Okay.
Because we need a healthier and better Bulawayo.
Nice, nice. Nku, it's the last, we have like a few days before we go to the elections. What would you say to someone who's listening and wants to actually go, while thinking about who should I vote in Pomona? Who should I vote for?
There's one thing about Zimbabwe, we're very intelligent. But the biggest problem, our intelligence sometimes makes us dumb. I don't know if I'm making
sense. No, you're making sense.
So you look at it this way. For instance, I'm being voted for in a constituency in Pomona. But you go and read the parliament website, they will say the role of the MP is legislative and representative. But if the people in Pomona have voted me in power, should I not use that ticket to be able to develop Pomona? So, for me, I know for a fact that most of what we need in Pomona we have. For instance, behind every shop, there's people welding, people that are fixing cars, people that are, we have got furniture stores and all that. We need to formalize those things.
Yeah.
That is employment.
Yeah, that's employment.
That's employment.
That's employment.
We've got a few health centers that are like, let's turn one of them into a polytechnic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's teach the people to weld,
mm-hmm.
to be mechanics.
Nice.
Employment is already sorted. Mm-hmm. So my campaign is centered around creative leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying vote for creative leadership,
mm-hmm.
in that we already have all we need. We just need leaders that can guide, of which that has never happened in Pumula. They go and say, you need employment, but we already have employment, so we need to start working on it. So for anyone that wants real leadership, they obviously need to vote for me.
Very interesting conversation we had ahead of the 30th of July, the day Zimbabweans are going to be voting for whoever they feel is best going to represent their needs and best represents them, basically. Whether a president, a member of parliament, a councillor, this is the day Zimbabweans are going to vote. So for everybody else who's running for those positions and for those spots, all the best to you. Just slightly moving away from politics and all this political sphere, I'm just going to go into the entertainment. So recently, a young lady by the name of Yolanda Ngwenya, the head designer of Baka, was selected by the U.S. State Department to go represent Zimbabwe in the United States of America, where she is getting exposed to the industry that she works in, which is the fashion industry. She's going to different spaces where she'll see how people are practicing their art, especially in fashion, in the United States of America. She's there for a month on an exchange program, and I just managed to get a voice note from her and just an update on how everything else is going in the United States of America. And this is what she had to say. Very exciting. I wish I was here this time of the year.
Hi everyone, my name is Yolanda Ngoya. I am 23 years old and I'm a fashion designer from Zimbabwe. I am one of the participants for AWEP 2018, and that is the African Women's Entrepreneurship Program. And this is a program that is sponsored by the U.S. State Department, and it sends a few African women in business every year to America to basically teach them and train them on business. And so far we've covered two cities, and that's Washington, D.C. and Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. We have different people from different fields coming to speak to us about business and about how it is to be a woman in business and how to grow as a woman in business, not only in Africa, but how to grow globally and how to export your products and how to deal with different people and how to deal with different characters and how to manage and how to be a leader in your community. So far, that's what I've learned. And this program is very insightful and it's very informative because you learn so much and you get so much, not just from what they teach you and who you meet, but from the women that are around you, the women from Africa. These African women are so amazing because they all run their own businesses and they're all CEOs and they're all leaders in their community. And you learn so much from them because some of them have had experiences for a long time. They've had their businesses for years, and I'm starting and I'm learning so much from them. And I would like to really encourage people out there, especially women in business, to not give up, to be strong. And I've been learning so much, like I've said, and my experience, the culture is so amazing because we get to see different types of people. I mean, in Washington, D.C., it's relatively white. It's a white community, but then in New Mexico, we have a lot of Mexicans and we have a lot of artisans. Actually, in New Mexico, there's a lot of artisans, and as a designer, you learn so much from them. What they do, you know, they take their culture and they mix it with their business, and that is art, and they sell their art and they live off from their art. And Atlanta is relatively a black community, so it's very amazing to meet these different types of people, these different types of women, these different cultures who all have a very common and similar experiences, because they're the women and they're in business just like me. And I've been encouraged and I've been growing, and whatever insecurities I've had, I'm glad to say that I'm now more confident in who I am, I'm confident in where I come from, and I'm very confident now in my business.
that's what I have for you this week here on the Gilmore T Vibe. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to Nkululeko Nkala for coming through, and Natasha Karim Makwenda for coming through, and also Yolanda for sending us a voice note all the way from the United States of America. All the best with your trip, and I hope you're going to have a blast in the United States of America. And closing up the show is a song by MJ Sings. It's his new single, and it's called Love. Yemali, enjoy. Until next week, same time, same place. God bless, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And Zimbabweans, please make sure that you are ready to go vote. I know it's cold, but we need to vote for whoever we feel should represent us as a people. Thank you, and God bless.
This is CliffCentral.com.